It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now the drive is live.
That's right. The drive is live. I know what today is going to be about. I know what the assignment is. I know that you all on the text line, I know the rules of this game, that you're going to try to give me hell throughout the show. And that's fine. I understand the rules. I get this. I caught the hell of it last night on Twitter. Many of you are a little aggressive, but caught the hell of it last night on Twitter. So I understand the rules of it. So, you know, throw them out there. I know it is you as Adam Spillane is having fun too, just pointing at, he's injured, man. At some point, you got to stop pointing at the injured stuff. All right. Adam Spillane in.
Sure you knew.
As Clint Sterner is out, Byron in, as well as Tyler is sick and trying to feel better here. Someone said Ronald does that when he walks in rooms. Your mama does that when she walks in rooms. How about that? Yeah, I'm a little down. Yeah, that wasn't a great one. Astros coming through with a big win last night. Good for them. As a Royals fan out here, that was not a great evening for me. But I hear you as you're rolling in. Talking about the Zach DiCenzo game. This is the Zach DiCenzo game.
I was going to let you lead with KU's big win last night because at least you had that.
You had that.
And the Jayhawks are now a step closer to a college football playoff.
Hey, I'm telling you, it's there.
Who do they play?
Lindenwood. It's okay.
It's a high school, right?
No, it's not a high school. School outside of St. Louis. You have to get in there and everything.
What division?
I don't know. I mean, it's whatever. Hey, it's as you said, one step closer.
That's
baby.
True.
I feel like I'm gonna put a little money on that one. Put a little money that they get to the college football playoff. I think it'd be solid.
They play Colorado.
They do play.
That's a win.
Hopefully, we'll see. We'll talk about Colorado in a little bit too. But no, the Zach DiCenzo day, huh? Good for him. He did have a really good at bat. Luckily for him, the fourth pitch that was thrown to him was pretty easy to determine was not going to be a strike. But he comes through with a young fella to give them the go-ahead walk, to give him the lead. So it was. Big at-bat for him.
Yeah, just falling behind the way that he did.
Yep.
He chased one of the sliders. The fourth ball four was, that's an easy pitch to take, especially when you've taken the two right before it. But ball two and ball three, those were not easy takes. And, you know, Mauricio Dubon said after the game that he's standing in the on-deck circle, and he swung at two of them. So that's how good those two takes were, especially for a young player. As a young player, you're trying to make something happen. Like, you're trying to impress this whole team. Like, you've got Hall of Famers in your dugout. You're trying to make an impression with those guys. So it's very easy to try and do too much in that spot, and he didn't. And, you know, he took what he got in that at-bat. He took those last three pitches, and it won them the game. And then he makes a great – this guy hadn't played third base in the big leagues, and he makes a great diving play to start off the ninth inning. So just a really good game.
Yeah, good game for him. Yeah, that was big. He was pumped. I didn't know he had that in him. Hit the chest pump.
Oh, yeah.
Really got himself good and fired up.
It's coming up here if you want to watch.
Yeah, I know. I know it's coming up here. They just replay these repeatedly? Is that what we're doing here?
Apparently.
Just keep coming through. I don't like that smile that you have that's so strong back there. Byron, I mean, if you're grinning, you're in it here just a little bit. I mean, you're a little too damn excited back here about this day. But I think one thing, and we'll see, clearly this is the way that Joe Espada is going to handle things, and we'll see when they get to the postseason if this is right. And I know it jumped out to you. Joe going to use that bench
yes.
Now. he going to use the hell out of that bench. Now some nights it feels like he gets a little too aggressive. Now, the Bregman – which was questionable. That ejection, probably forced him to have to do a little bit more than he wanted to. But he going to use that bench, and he seemed to press the right buttons for the most part last night, especially with those last couple of pinch hitters in the eighth.
Yeah, he's been utilizing the bench a lot, really all season long. I think you go back to opening day where he uses a pinch hitter in the sixth inning on opening day against the Yankees. Like, that's kind of when you knew, okay, this is very different than what has gone on here
down,
in the past.
Taking a home run, yeah, sitting down.
He's going to use the bench. And I think what's been important about the last, you know, 10 days is that they've actually improved that bench. And I've been ripping them to shreds for basically having dead weight at the end of that bench and adding Gamble last week, adding Hayward this week, even Neris, too, in the bullpen. Like, they've made their bench better. And it's not like it's significantly better, but even if you're like, even if Jason Hayward is 5% better over the guy that he replaced, that matters. And you see Hayward come up big yesterday in just his second at bat with the team, and he drives in a couple runs.
But that's something that they had to do. Like, if you got a manager who is really, really into using mm-hmm. a lot of players and using the whole roster, like, you got to put together a roster that is able to adhere to that. And especially with the injuries, obviously with Tucker, it was going to bring that even more to the table. And, you know, you can't have a manager who wants to use the bench, use the numbers, use what the matchups are, and have, you know, Elipmus Diaz and Kessinger down there and
Jacob
all of
Amaya.
Them. Like, yeah. You had to add to that. So I give them credit. It took a little bit, but they have appeared to adjust to the type of manager they have.
And that's what was so strange just about the start of the year. Like, they had to know during the whole process. Like, I'm guessing it came up during the interviews. Like, hey, Joe, Dusty didn't really use his bench that much. How do you feel about that? And I'm assuming he said, you know what? I want to use my bench a whole lot more. And yet they did nothing really to address the bench in the offseason. So, I mean, it took them a long time to get there, but they have finally addressed the bench, and they have finally made it to the point where you can use all four of those bench guys, and they'll get to add somebody else to that bench here on Sunday when the rosters expand. But like, they are putting guys in positions to succeed. That's why you pinch hit for Whitcomb in the eighth inning yesterday. That's why you use Caratini in that spot. That's why you pinch hit for Hayward against the lefty. That's so, like, he understands, I think, how to use his guys and how to put them in the right spots to be successful. And now he finally has a bench that he has that to where he can, like, execute that plan.
Yeah, people here on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch, some of you aren't buying that Tyler's sick. And I think that's unfair of you. For you, at least Joseph is nice. I hope Tyler feels better. Someone text in, is Tyler really sick or is he hungover? Come on, guys.
No, I can say he was actually sick.
Can you? No, I'm just kidding.
Was he at the Texans premiere yesterday?
No, that's okay.
Then that's all you
that's
need to
how
know.
You know. Yes. That's right. That is a Tyler yes. Milner event. They had the holy.
He must have been on his deathbed to miss that last night.
I just know we're I'll pull the carpet back as we do on the show. We're sitting here. We're live. We're at the Westin. Great spot. Yesterday, I just get a text. My man said, "Hey, Byron's going to take over." I said, "What?" I said, "Man, you good?" He said, I just puked in the break. I said, "Hell, take your ass home. Take your ass home." So, yes, guys, Tyler is legitimately sick, okay? He wouldn't just miss it.
And
Not for the premiere. And as you said, Adam, he's going to be at that damn premiere.
Is he alive?
Yeah.
I'm worried now. Tyler, check in with us.
Hopefully he's
back. We need proof of life.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. And Clint's enjoying himself.
Well, here, 3-2.
I just, you know.
Not
I
even mean, competitive 3-2.
You know, let's pull the car to the side of the road. Yes, it was very frustrating. My wife woke up the kids on this pitch. It just pissed her smooth off. But, like, there is nothing more annoying. All right, hey, guys, bases loaded. Or it didn't even have to be the bases loaded, but, hey, we got a full count. Full count. Here we go. We've been battling. All right, here we go. And you throw a pitch that nobody even has to even think about taking a swing. Nobody has to. Like, it is, you see it's a ball a mile away, let alone the bases are loaded. There is nothing more frustrating watching a game, bases loaded, here we go, just put it in there, let's see what happens. And you don't even, like, there's some, obviously there are some pitches that start out as strikes that can fool you.
That was never in there.
It was on the ground and it was outside. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here damn near pacing, waiting. Come on, get out of this 3-3. And he just pulls a sweeper on the ground. I mean, damn, man, hit a grand slam. I would rather a grand slam be hit than you just throw the ball to Zach DiCenzo in the ground and not even make it a play. Damn it.
So let me ask you this.
Good game, Astros.
Because you know the Royals better than I do. Sal Perez is playing first base in that spot because Pasquantino broke his wrist. Yes. If Sal Perez is catching, do they throw a slider there? Or does Sal say, you know what? He laid off the last two sliders. We got to throw a fastball here.
I don't know. I really don't. I think Sal could have just called it from first base. He's done it before. God, that frustrated me. All right. Can I hear, we just watched
it. Still in the playoffs, though.
Byron, can I hear Dubon? Dubon had, listen, DiCenzo had the big walk, but Dubon had the hit to really put it out of reach. Like, for me, there, you know, I felt like it was over then, but then when it gets 6-3, I really thought it was over because you're like, all right, one run, somebody can get in one, someone can go deep. But this was the play that ended it, I believe, in the eighth inning. Mauricio Dubon coming up again in a clutch moment and doing this.
Dubon, that's a base hit! This will score two! And the Astros take the lead and extend the lead. A huge hit for Mauricio Dubon. A two-run single. And the Astros lead at 6-3.
Doobie!
Yeah. But I mean, that's Dubon, though. That's what he does. He is clutch. He is one of the clutch hitters on this team. There aren't a lot of Astros that I would feel more comfortable with at the plate in a big moment than Mauricio Dubon. I'm not saying there aren't any. There just aren't a lot. He just seems to handle those situations and has a knack of for more times than not having a really good at bat. And that just leads me here, fellas. And I feel like we're on opposite ends of this. Is I just really hope when these games matter that we stop this Jake Myers and center field nonsense, and that we just go ahead and put Mauricio Dubon in center field so he is the one that gets four at bats. What did Jake do last night?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. I hadn't seen.
Wasn't great.
It feels like an 0-for-4.
Wasn't great.
I mean, I don't know. He's clipped himself over. Like, I don't know. And I know where you're going. I could see you rolling up. I don't get it. Put it. Why does he? I just don't understand one why he was gift wrapped at the job to start the season. Based off what we've seen now, what I'm looking at thinking Chaz is going to be the left or the right or the left fielder next year. That's what Chaz is going to be. Chaz is doing basically what Jake did last year, and he's going to come back next year and be given the left fielder's job. I don't think so. But I just look at this. We've seen it multiple times. Hell, this past week, we know that Dubon is good enough to play defensively out there. We know everybody in the world's going to run on Jake, and we know that Dubon is better in that category. And I don't think it's even close offensively, not to mention in crucial moments. I sure as hell would rather Dubon get four at-bats more than Jake. And I will admit off the front end, I am not a big Jake believer. Okay, I've not been one from the jump, and I will admit some of that. Look at Jake just chasing. I will admit some of that. I look up there. There is Jake right there for me. And this Cruz fella, this is the first time I've seen him, and I watched the Royals all year. Never seen that guy. He just came up. But I don't understand why the feel is, oh, let's just keep putting him in there. Dubon can play defensively well enough, and I think it's more than well enough, and he is clearly the better hitter. You don't know about that. Okay.
Who has the higher OPS?
I don't give a damn. You walk.
Well, that's how you decide who the better hitter is.
You watch it. He's got a lot more bets. You watch it. You believe that Jake is a better offensive player,
all around offensive player,
than Mauricio Dubon.
Yes.
Get out of here. Yes. You're delusional.
He can actually hit a homer. He can hit for some power.
You're serious?
Yes. 100%. And I also like Dubon off the bench because I like Dubon as a pinch hitter.
I thought you were going to go with the I can't look at you.
Well, he is. He is a better defender with the too.
Defensive.
He is.
I thought you were going to try to rule the defensive thing. You think Jake's a? You think Jake's a better hitter?
Yes. All around hitter. Yes.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. This may be difficult for you because I think you guys hate us both equally. You think? What is Jake? Jake's been one of the worst hitters of the second half of the year.
You know what Dubon is in the second half?
I would like to see him get
200.
What's Jake?
Can I read off the Dubon numbers first?
Come on, read them off. Read them off.
Since the All-Star break, Dubon 200 with 16 extra base hits. I got to pull it up, and as we talked about before the show, Wi-Fi here, not.
I'm not sure. I bet that Wi-Fi is struggling right now as you try to pull up, Jake. Overall, we saw them last year. We saw, I don't know, I can't remember who it was starting in center field.
So I just told you, since the All-Star break, Dubon 200 with 5 extra base hits, I believe is what I said. Jake Meyer, since the All-Star break, 205 with 7 extra base hits.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Meyer's a better hitter.
And he is getting...
Case closed.
And here is my also point to that with the Dubon thing, is Dubon is not getting every day at-bats like Jake is.
Pretty much every day.
No, he's not. He's not. He's
because
he's,
they like him more off the bench.
I get it. I get that they like him more off the bench, except that he is better than the center fielder that is out there, despite what you're saying.
I disagree.
He is better than the center fielder out there, despite what you're
Meyer's
saying.
Meyer's better defensively. And he's been a better hitter.
When you take about everything with defense, clearly we know that Dubon has range. All right, don't give me that. Clearly, like that Phillies game, Jake almost tricked away that no hitter with his bad first step, which he takes often. His bad first step that ball almost sailed over his head.
Center fielder. Probably going to win a gold glove. He might win a gold glove. Might win a gold glove. Gonna be a finalist at least.
I'm not gonna let you get me here today.
Top three.
You have watched you have watched multiple years of these two players.
Yes.
And I'm gonna ask you, who would you rather have 4 at bats? In a playoff game, who would you rather have 4 at bats?
Jake Meyer. You can hit a home run. I need power. I need pop. I don't need a bunch of singles. I need somebody who's going to hit for some pop. That's Jake Meyer.
You would rather?
Yes. Absolutely.
You're not kidding.
No.
You're not kidding.
Now, listen.
Myron, put it on the mic. I want to hear. Who would you rather playoffs have 4 at-bats, Jake Meyer or Mauricio Dubon?
As of right now, it's Dubon. But, you know, in conversations I had with my friends, I was always saying, like, right now, going into the playoffs, like, let's say if Kyle Tucker wasn't healthy, I always put Meyer in my center field, not Dubon. I'm not going to lie. I'm sorry.
I don't even know what you said. I am legit flabbergasted. And the only thing that I can say to that at this point is that is our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every I can't believe this. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I'm going to do this.
Gold Glove finalist.
I think we've got about 5 or 6 minutes on this break. I feel like you have just put your feet in and you are just, I've committed and I got to stay here. You've committed. How about a clutch moment? How about bases? Runners in scoring position in a postseason game.
Dubon has the better chance of putting the ball in play in that spot. Like if I need a homer, I want Meyer. If I need somebody who's going to put the ball in play, then it's Dubon. But you're asking me 4 at bats. Like if you can cherry pick a certain situation, and I might say that I want Dubon. But you can cherry pick another situation, and I might tell you I want Meyer. So it's very different. They're both very different type of hitters. They both have different strengths as a hitter. Dubon is more of a contact guy. Meyer is more of a, I can get you a homer. I can get you a double. I can get you some sort of an extra base hit. And also Meyer is faster. Better center fielder too. Gold Glove finalist.
I need a minute. Coming up next, we saw Adam stop. We saw the fatal flaw of the contender that the Astros are playing the Royals yesterday. What would be the reason that the Astros, like I trusted your baseball knowledge until now. I'm rethinking it. But what would be the potential fatal flaw of how the Astros would lose or potentially get eliminated in the playoffs? We'll discuss that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, I'm good, folks. We're back at it. Text line and YouTube and Twitch, they are... I mean, some people they don't know what to do that they're agreeing with me, and some people are just somebody has texted.
I'm glad I could bring you in the listeners.
Well, somebody has texted, Ron. I'm sorry, I just can't. I can't agree with you just because I can't. It's good. Adam Spillane in the building. Clint is out. Tyler is out as well. Byron is on the ones and twos, putting this thing together. A lot to get to today on this beautiful Friday. As the Astros, they are still in this in the midst of this 4-game series. By the way, we do have a bet here, and the way we're doing it, we got two bets. Me and Tyler have a side bet. So Tyler is out right now. He's good to go. We had a side bet that if either one of the teams swept, if the Astros swept the Royals, or if the Royals swept the Astros, which can't happen now, the loser has to dye their hair blonde fully.
So that's still in play for you.
So that's still in play for me. Yeah.
You better hope. If they get today's game, I would be feeling a little uneasy if I were you.
Right, man, we got Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans going the next
You got
days.
Kikuchi on Saturday.
Have some.
Ronel Blanco Sunday. Ronel Blanco might throw that right. Second no-hitter.
We'll see. You got no-hitter on
that's an uneasy
and
feeling.
And then our other bet is we're just doing the first three games. So I could be on the hook for this. The first three games, whoever wins the first two out of those three games, the loser has to come in and do the whole show and the opposite team's face paint on Tuesday. We're all
so you're going to have to paint your face orange and white,
Astro blue, that look. Put okay. The H there somewhere. Yeah. So
good luck with that.
Yeah. I'm sure many of you would really enjoy all of those things.
I think Tyler with blue paint on his face would look. I think that's a good look. You in the orange, I don't know.
First off, don't make that damn face. I can make it look good now. Damn it, I can make it look good. But
I don't know.
It would be a fun day on YouTube and Twitch for those, forever it is that has the paint.
You should have to make that your Twitter avatar.
Okay, yeah, that could be something. All right, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this conversation as well. Last night, those are two playoff teams.
Yes.
So both teams are going to get in the playoffs.
Most likely.
I believe. I don't think, like, Seattle seems to be good on it. And things would have to go really, really wrong for the Royals to fall out of the playoffs right now. So it looks like both of those teams are going to be in the playoffs.
It could be. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. It could be a wild card series matchup.
It could be. It very well could
be. Royals could wind up being number six. Astros, if they win the division, probably going to be number three. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely could be. Right now, it would be Astros, Twins, and Orioles, Royals right now, if the season ended right now. But you saw it last night. And yes, the eighth inning, there was errors and injuries. But the real issue with the Royals and why they will lose is the bullpen on full display. They have one of the worst bullpens in the league. And the guy who got hurt last night and had to come out of the game is by far their best reliever, who they just got a month ago. So that would be the fatal flaw of the Royals. What is it for the Astros? Like, if you had to sit here and think, we'll do it. Like, you can probably do it with the Texans in your mind. All right, if the Texans don't, like, if they lose in the playoffs or something, I think right now in your mind you could probably guess this would be it right now, the run game or something like that. You could guess it. What is it for the Astros? Get your thoughts. What is it for the Astros would be, is their fatal flaw would be the thing you would predict would be the reason they get eliminated?
I think you've seen it here twice in the last week. It's the defense. And the defense,
obviously. What's going on with that? And it's a good, what's going on with Pena?
Pena's play at short has really fallen off, not just this year, but the last couple of years. And you saw it again last night. That's a routine ground ball that he boots to start the seventh inning. And that's the sort of stuff that can happen. And this team made its money defensively. Like, that's what set this team apart for a long time, was just how good it was defensively. And now after last night, they're 20th in defensive runs saved. Like, that can't happen. You can't be 20th in defensive runs saved and expect to go on some sort of a deep playoff run. So that needs to get cleaned up. And it wasn't just Pena. It's Whitcomb, who doesn't get charged for an error on that ground ball to third.
That's a play you think has to be made.
Oh, absolutely. Bregman makes that play. If Bregman doesn't get ejected, that play gets made. Gamble.
Probably would have made the one the day before.
Yes.
For the
one in Philly also. Gamble in left field. That's not an easy play, especially for someone who's not used to playing left field at Minute Maid Park. But that's a play that can be made. Altuve made an error at second base in the eighth inning last night. Like, the defense has to get cleaned up, because you can't give good teams 28, 29, 30 outs in a game and expect to win those games. So that, to me, is right now, that's their Achilles heel. That is what is going to keep them from going on a deep playoff run, is the defense.
Text line coming in the back of their lineup. The bats going cold. Kyle Tucker not being back. To your point, yeah, as you said, you can't give good teams multiple extra outs. And it's crazy. Like, it's one thing. They don't, for the most part, sometimes we've seen Dubon made a couple of really great, you know, above average plays. Jake has made some. I'm fair. Jake has made a couple.
Would you say as well. Gold glove caliber plays?
He's made some really above average plays. But that's the thing, is it's like they're not making a lot of the great plays. Hell, they're not making, like, it's not like, all right, they may boot a couple, but they'll make exceptional plays too to make up for it. All right, they'll screw that up too. I think Baltimore, there was an error that cost them the Saturday game, and that wasn't an error. That was
the Singleton play, yes. Where Singleton probably should, yeah, you know, be a little more, have a little more urgency on that play, but Framber didn't go over to cover either. So that's two guys who screwed up that play. Their pitchers aren't very good defensively. You look, shortstop has struggled. Second baseman has struggled. First base is a rough spot for them defensively.
There was a play that Diaz, I think, missed in one of those games against, maybe the Red Sox, where it just felt like his inexperience was the culprit there. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they're going to have a lot of revolving doors around at first base.
And DeCenzo has not played a whole lot of first base in his career. Remember, they lost a Gold Glove shortstop in Carlos Correa. Now, Pena won a Gold Glove as a rookie, but again, he has really fallen back the last 2 years. He's already, I think, now at 19 errors this season. He's committed 5 errors in the last 10 games, and there are other plays that probably should have been made where he wasn't charged with errors. Yuli Gurriel is a Gold Glove first baseman, and they lost him, and they have replaced him with Jose Abreu, who's bad at first base, John Singleton, who's bad at first base, and now you're trying to piece it together with guys who are learning how to play first base. Guys like Dubon, who's actually been pretty good out in first base. I think he's probably been the best out of the guys that they've used. DeCenzo hasn't played a lot of first base. Whitcomb hasn't played a lot of first base. Yiner Diaz and Caratini have been playing out there. They haven't played at that position a whole lot. So your infield defense takes an even bigger hit right there. So to me, it's just the defense.
I hear the defense thing, and I agree with you. That's something they most definitely have to clean up. I also agree a bit with one of the texters about the bottom of the lineup. And I just think, and they've got some guys playing well. Ben Gamble has played pretty well. We'll see what Hayward is able to do. But there are just a lot of spots where pitchers can move around. Mm-hmm. Just pitch around.
You can take a breath against them.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Take a breath, or just say, all right, man, I'm just going to come. Like Kyle Tucker, when he comes back, that helps it. But still, I think pitchers will be like, I'll try with Diaz. I'll try with Pena. I'll try. Like, there's just a bunch mm-hmm. of spots where, as you said, take a breath, or, hell, I'll just completely avoid really having to throw pitches to Alvarez or Tucker. And I'm not afraid to pitch with a couple of runners on to go get to those guys towards the back of the lineup. So I think there is something there, because, you know, as I know, in postseason, the pitching gets really strategic, and they will do that. They will move around guys to get to certain batters that they want to get to because they feel comfortable. And I'm not quite sure that the lineup is as long as it needs to be to avoid that.
But that's where the utilization of the bench becomes so important, to where you can give yourself better matchups when you have a better bench, when you have a deeper bench, and when you have a manager that is willing to go to his bench. That's how you have success. Where did the runs come from last night's game? It came from the bottom of the order, because they had guys who had better matchups than they would have if they had not used the bench. So
I wonder what happened if Dubon got 4 at bats last night.
I mean, the first at bat wasn't great.
What happened?
The second one was better. Second one was better.
All right. Coming up, a little Texans action. We'll get into that. And a question about college football that Adam Spolane asked earlier. And I think he's drinking the Kool-Aid a little too fast again. We'll discuss that coming up next. Why did you tell me that? Welcome back into The Drive. Adam Spolane is in. Get excited, folks. Jeff Bagwell is doing the road trip. He's going to be in for Jeff Blum doing the road trip.
I believe that's the case.
Hopefully this is where people can start to fall back in love with Jeff Bagwell. Give Jeff a second chance. I just hope Jeff doesn't come up there. Got the worst thing. Just be humble. I told you so. Don't get up there and I told you so. If Jeff gets up there and starts, I told you so, boy. I told you what was going to happen. I always knew this was going to happen with this team. I always knew they would get back here. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Just call the game. I do. I want the people to fall back in love with Jeff Bagwell. Some people just quit Jeff Bagwell. He's a legend. Fall back in love with Jeff Bagwell. Do that for a second. But Jeff's calling these games on the road trip. That ought to be fun. All right. The season starts, hell, the Chiefs and Ravens play next Thursday. So that starts off, and then obviously
it's a game a week from tonight.
That's right. And then, the Eagles and Packers will start up. Will be the second game to kick off the NFL season. And then obviously the Texans will take on the Colts. And the way that I'm looking at this, because the expectations are very, very high. The hype is very, very high with the Houston Texans. And many people are talking, hell, Vegas has them in the top 6, I believe, in Super Bowl odds, and top 4 in the AFC odds to represent the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. And for me, I'm just kind of comparing them to past Super Bowl contending level teams that have made, like we thought last year, the Ravens were a Super Bowl level team. Obviously, the 49ers and the Chiefs were. Detroit, I don't know what we thought, but hell, they made it to the NFC Championship game. They had a big lead. The years before, the Bengals have been a Super Bowl level team, right? We've seen the Eagles, Super Bowl level team. You think the Texans stack up with those teams? You think you get the feel that this year's Texans team right now, the 2024 Texans, stack up with the recent memory past Super Bowl kind of level contending teams?
I do. Maybe not with San Francisco, but I think that you look at a lot of these other teams, I think that they do, because the quarterback is paid so little and he's so good. And that allows them to spend on other areas of the roster, and it really impacts the depth of that team. Like, I think if you look at
let's say, the 2018-2019 Chiefs, before they really had to pay Patrick Mahomes, I think this roster is pretty close to being on par with that roster.
Yeah, it's better defensively. I don't know Tyreek Hill and Kelsey, but overall, you look at the Texans'
top four pass catchers. Yeah. They aren't at the Tyreek level, or maybe the Tyreek and Kelsey level, but they're close.
Good, they're good. Yeah. So I mean, it's in route with that. I think for me, I look at that, and that's the discussion here is this Texans team that's getting the Super Bowl contender conversation. Are they on that level with the past Super Bowl type teams? Whatever you can think of the last, 5 years or so, are they on that level? And I think a lot of the teams, not all of them, because the Eagles don't fall into this, but a lot of the teams have a really good coaching staff and head coach. The Eagles came to mind when I said, I don't know if they fall into that.
The coordinators before.
The coordinators, yes. Shane Steichen and What's
Gannon.
Pum Pum guy? Yeah, Gannon. I'm starting to feel a little bit better, but Pum Pum, he said that. Gannon, a little bit better, but really good coaching. And for the most part, really good quarterback play that can go and win games for you. So, like, those are two of the big ones for the most part, right? And it seems like the Texans hold that. The only thing for me is I don't know if you're 100% sure just because of the sample size. Now, I know there are other people who are 100% sure, but for the sample size, you're not 100% sure. The only thing for me is just the trenches. Like, that is the deal there when you start to look at, like, some of these teams. If we go and look at it, a lot of these teams had legit all-pro players up there, right? Like, the Eagles had the best offensive line, and Trent Williams up there, and that offensive line for the 49ers were known for that. The Ravens have had a really good offensive line for the most part. The Bengals are probably an exception there. They were able to get to it there. Even the Chiefs, Creed Humphrey is an all-pro, and Trey Smith and Joe Tooney has been an all-pro. So that's the only difference there. But I think when you start with the coach and the quarterback, and the coaching, because Bobby Slowick is a really good coach as well, like they kind of fit that mold that some of those contenders do.
And I think the other thing that's important too, they've got a lot of high ceiling guys on the roster. Like you look at the offensive skill players, Nico Collins, high ceiling, Tank Dell, high ceiling, Stephon Diggs, high ceiling, Laremy Tunsil, high ceiling. You go to the other side of the ball. Will Anderson, high ceiling. Danielle Hunter, high ceiling. Azeez Al-Shaair, high ceiling. Derek Stingley, really high ceiling. I think that they have, if you look up in December.
Big talent, some guys that can go make a play.
Like in January, they could wind up with 7 Pro Bowlers and it wouldn't be a surprise at all. Like I think that's how high level the talent is right now on the roster. And again, a lot of that is because quarterback doesn't make a whole lot, and they've drafted really well here recently. Like Nico Collins in the third round, that's a great pick.
I thought that I thought that was a really good point that you made. They got like a lot of those teams we can think about just got go get it dudes. Like Debo can just go go make a play on his own. McCaffrey can go make a play on his own. Tyreek Hill can go get it and make plays. And Kelsey can go make big plays. Lamar can go get it and make plays. Chase can just go. Texans, you feel that good? They got those guys. Yes. You're that confident they got. You think Diggs is still that guy? Just go get it and make a play.
No, I think he is. And some of it's just based on who's around him too.
Yeah,
like the fact that he might be the third or fourth option on a given play. So like to me, they're never out of a drive. Like they could. There could be a hold on first and 10, and they can easily get 20 yards in the three plays. CJ could take a sack on first down, and they're still not out of that drive. Like there are so many teams that once they get behind the sticks, that drive is over. For them, they are capable of picking up anything from basically any distance. So they're never going to be out of it. Third and 12, they can pick that up, no problem. You don't want to be in those situations, but they, I think, are capable of doing it. They could fall behind in a game, and they've got enough talent on the offensive side of the ball to where if they need 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, they can get 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Yeah. Yeah, that's I think when you look at it on paper, they match. They seem to have the elements that a lot of those contending teams have had. You were asking the question if what we watched last night, we got to get into the Colorado Buffaloes, but you were asking the question is, do they got the top two picks in the draft?
They might. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, those two are really good. And it should be a little concerning that they had to hold on to beat North Dakota State.
And listen, that's what I'm going to say. They're both really, really good. I fell for the trap a little bit last year. Travis Hunter, his effect and impact on the game really lessened when they played better teams. And I know it's like, oh well, duh. But
he
I
got
mean,
hurt
it,
too.
But I mean it really lessened. Like when he played against the Oregons, and he played against USC, when he played against the top of the Pac-12 last year. Like, yes, it's going to be tougher because you're playing against better opponents. But you didn't look out there and think, well, damn it, that's a top 10 pick. You did it early against TCU, who we finally later found out that wasn't the national runner-up from the previous year. You saw it against Nebraska, but later on, like Travis Hunter didn't look like he was clearly the best guy, whether he was playing receiver or corner. He seemed to play with some of those opponents, and Shedeur is kind of the same way. So I don't know if I want to eat or drink the Kool-Aid that quick yet. I want to see them against the better opponents on their schedule.
Well, I think they'll struggle just because the rest of that roster is pretty bad, and I think that you saw that in last night's game. And one of the things that really hurt them is just how bad the offensive line is. And I think that they probably go into this season with the worst offensive line in the Big 12. And North Dakota State couldn't really take advantage of that last night. But like, there was one play the second touchdown that Colorado had in that first quarter, where there's a rusher right in Shedeur Sanders' face, and he just delivered a perfect throw for what turned out to be a long touchdown. Like that, to me, that's a number one pick in the draft type throw.
I think that point is really, it really carries weight with Shedeur. And a bit on the offensive side. Like, I think the best position that Hunter plays is corner. I think that's the best. Now, he's obviously a straight-up nightmare for certain teams. That catch he made last night, that touchdown was ridiculous. I mean, that we may not see a better catch all year than that. But, see, his is a little easier to watch. And sometimes he gets beat, or sometimes it's like in coverage, and you're like, that's not top five corner. That's not top five pick. That's not top 10 worthy. So I want to see if he impacts the game when he plays teams like Oklahoma State, Kansas, when he plays.
Love how you threw Kansas in there.
I mean, they're one of the better teams on their schedule. They are. They got good receivers. They got a good quarterback. So, I mean, when he plays those, I want to see if he stands. Because right there, it was clear who the best individual player on the field was in the game. Was Travis Hunter. And it was that way the first game of the year last year against TCU. I didn't feel that way as their schedule moved on last year.
I don't think it helps that he plays both sides. And so he's basically on the field every single play. Like, you wear down at a certain point when you do that. So I do wonder if he better off. Now, Colorado certainly isn't better off to only have him play on one side of the ball. But is he better off, and can they maybe get
in
to
those
the point
games,
to where
they're going to have to pull, like, they're going to use that receiver, like him as a receiver, less than they have been. They've got to come in and say, all right, you got this many snaps. He can't be playing 100 damn snaps.
Especially in altitude.
Yes.
Like, they're playing up in Boulder, Colorado, where it's, I don't know what the altitude is over there, but it's well over a mile. Like, that's asking a whole lot of a 21-year-old to be able to just, like, survive those type of elements and to take as many hits as he's going to wind up having to take. So I do think, like, it's going to be hard for them, because I don't think it's going to be tough for them to like create offense or to get stops if he's not playing on both sides of the ball. But I think that's how he is able to maintain his level, is by just sticking to one side of the ball. Because, you know, when he gets to the NFL, he's going to be drafted to play one position, and they're probably going to keep him in that spot. He might play a few plays here, a few plays there on the other side, but for the most part, they're going to stick him to offense or defense.
Speaking of defense, I know we got to get – I can't believe – like, that's the thing about Deion. Now, your defense is so rough, And that's your expertise. That's your side. Like, that's the part where he, like, I mean, they're just running through him.
Yeah.
Running through people. It's a rough one. All right, coming up, we'll give you the latest, because there is some news on Kyle Tucker that has just dropped. We'll let you know the latest of that. And we will look at last night's big win for the Astros. Also, one of the biggest storylines in this NFL offseason has finally come to an end. We'll let you know and address all of that coming up as we continue live on the drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.